When Governor Snyder threw his support behind a right-to-work law for Michigan last week, he said it was needed to boost the state's economy and compete for jobs. But Upjohn Employment Institute senior economist Tim Bartik says economic research on right-to-work legislation doesn't give a clear picture.
If you have a particular political opinion and you want to cherry-pick studies to support it, you can find the right studies in the area of right-to-work laws.
I spoke with Tim Bartik about right-to-work laws and their impact on jobs and the economy.
What are the factors that, when you try to look at this as an economist, make it difficult to just tease out exactly the effects that right-to-work laws are having on job growth and wages?
Well, the biggest problem is that there's not enough variation in right-to-work laws. And, of course, we're not doing a random assignment experiment where we took the states in the U.S. and randomly assigned half of them to right-to-work laws. That's the first problem. The second problem is, historically, right-to-work laws were mainly in a number of southern states and a few western states. And more recently, there have been a couple states that have adopted right-to-work laws, but not that many. So you don't have that much variation. And within a state, it's just a 0-1 variable. It's just you're either a right-to-work state or you're not. There's not variation across industries in the variable. In addition, the political climate that leads to the passage of right-to-work laws tends to be a political climate that leads to many other changes. It tends to be a political climate that leads to lower business taxes,
reduction in
government regulation of businesses, many other changes. And so trying to separate this out. So the reason why you get up with these dueling studies, it depends upon what you control for or what you look at. So, for example, you sometimes hear people say, well, gee, right-to-work laws, right-to-work states grew more rapidly since World War II than non-right-to-work states. Well, the right-to-work states were in the South.
And the South grew.
The South grew tremendously. You know, most regional scientists, regional economists would say that a lot of that had to do with, you know, air conditioning became widespread. It made the South much more attractive, both for manufacturing and for people to live. You also have the move from rail and water transportation to truck transportation, which made manufacturing more footloose, so it decentralized. You know, I think the civil rights movement and the revolution played a role. But the point is, in general, you'd find a correlation between how fast states grew and what percentage of people in the state were fans of the St. Louis Cardinals, Atlanta Braves, and the Alabama football team. Those would all be correlated with state growth, yet we wouldn't think those are causal factors.
Now, as you say, most of these right-to-work laws have been in southern and some western states. Indiana joined the right-to-work state group recently. And that was one reason that Governor Snyder gave for putting his support behind right-to-work, whereas in the past he had said it wasn't on his agenda. Is there any good research about, you know, states that border each other and whether or not jobs move across the border because one state is right-to-work?
There have been studies that specifically look at border effects. Some of the studies find some border effects on the percentage of manufacturing jobs. However, those studies don't uniformly find effects on bordering counties on manufacturing growth rates or in wage rates. So there's some evidence that there are some border state effects, but the magnitude of those effects is disputed. So you have two very good studies that differ in their magnitude on 3-1 in terms of the magnitude of the effects they find.
I hope you don't mind me sharing a little bit from the email exchange that you and I had before we did this interview.
Sure.
You said the debate should be broader than just manufacturing jobs or just jobs in general, but also get into discussing wage rates and the mix of jobs. Do you think that that is missing from the political and policy debates over jobs and economic growth? We seem to focus much more on the number of jobs created, the unemployment rate, and not necessarily what those jobs are providing in terms of wages and benefits?
Well, I think a lot of people miss that and yet we know that wage rates and the mix of jobs has major effects. I mean, in the end, I mean, if you ask what is economic development for a state economy, what are we trying to do? In my opinion, what we should be trying to do is raise the standard of living of the broadest possible group of state residents. Now, obviously, we do that in part by raising their employment rates, lowering unemployment, getting them into jobs. But a big part of it also is, what are the wage rates of those jobs? What are the benefits? Can they support a family?
Upjohn Institute economist Tim Bartik says attracting a large number of low-paying jobs can also reduce available land and workers and therefore limit a state's ability to attract higher-paying jobs.
those particular parcels of land that were zoned for industry are no longer available. And the workers employed there are no longer available. And then some other firm coming along will say, well, you know, we're not going to locate here. The sites don't look right. We don't like the location vis-a-vis the highway, or the sites that are available don't seem attractive enough, don't have the right infrastructure in, don't have the water and sewer lines in, et cetera, et cetera.
You might find land, but the best land may also – will probably go first to the people who get there.
Yeah, get there first. Yeah. Okay. So people may be aware there's a trade-off there that, you know, that there are some negatives. I mean, you actually could have negative effects in your economic development by attracting too many low-wage jobs.
Tim Bardick is senior economist with the W.E. Upjohn Institute for Employment Research. A longer version of this interview can be heard at WMUK.org. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.